sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Monday. It's December 16th and we're back with you.
We are back.
Yeah.
This is my kind of a bittersweet moment. This is my last week on the show.
Okay. I guess it's not a surprise for me, but I'm pretending like I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
What are you talking about? How dare you?
Well, you know what today is? Today is the first day of the rest of your life, I figure, for everybody. So,
that's okay. I mean, it is Monday. I thought about that all of a sudden.
I don't know why. That was funny. But
we're both adjusting our sound here.
I know. We should have done this beforehand.
Yeah.
But, Mia, so this is the last week.
Yes, it is.
And, life happens.
And it does.
and we go on and stuff. And so do you have plans? Like, what are you going to do?
Yes. I mean, I just, like, Saturday was just a huge turning point for me. I really had no idea what to expect out of this crazy photo shoot that I was preparing for. And I'm just so glad that all my, like, crazy working out and dieting, and I just put so much hard work into preparing for this photo shoot. I feel like it really, really paid off.
Really?
Yeah, I never really thought about, you know, giving modeling another chance.
Right.
You know, I mean, I would just kind of take the jobs as they come. I never really, you know, attempted to pursue it heavily. And I made a lot of great contacts at my photo shoot, and now I, you know, have trips planning right now to Hawaii, Jamaica, and South Beach for photo shoots.
Wow, so you didn't waste your time.
So, yeah. So I'll be traveling to tropical places to model in my bikini.
There you go. Maybe you'll get on Sports Illustrated one day.
Yeah, I actually test shot for Maxim as well on Saturday. So that was pretty exciting. And
We're going to see on all the magazines.
Yeah. it's interesting. It's something that I never really thought about, you know, giving another go at it. But
how come you didn't want to do it?
I don't know. I just kind of was like, that just wasn't really my focus. You know, I mean, I would do it, you know, because people would be like, oh, here's a modeling job. You can get paid for this. It's like, oh, okay.
I'll do it.
But I never really went after it.
Right.
And, you know, it was just so much fun to be able to, you know, have, like, so much, you know, attention from all these photographers. It was really, like, motivating feeling, you know,
I'm sure.
Very, very flattering. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I can, I think I can do this. So,
yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you got to find your direction and see where you're best at, you know.
And it's like, I'm glad I know this now. Cause I mean, once obviously, you know, like anything, once you get to a certain age, you know, it's kind of harder to do that. So it's like, while I'm still young, I can still hit that full force.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, definitely. I mean, take advantage
of
it.
See what I can do. So, and you know me, I love to travel.
Right.
That is like my favorite thing
so
to do
to
ever.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So that's very exciting, you know?
Yes, thank
Get out
you.
Of LA for a little bit.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward
wow.
to it.
So you're going to Hawaii, one of the places you're going to, huh?
Yes. There's talk of Hawaii, Jamaica, and then South Beach.
Wow.
So, yeah, because I just started, you know, posting some stuff out there, and I have, you know, photographers, you know, pretty well-known ones, too. Like, oh, how much, you know, how much do you charge if I, you know, fly you out to South Beach for, you know, photo shoot? I'm like, I don't know. I never really gave it a thought. And all of a sudden, I'm just getting bombarded, and it's, like, so overwhelming. But it's really exciting.
Good. Then charge them really big bucks.
Blessed, so,
you know. Yeah. You gotta charge them big bucks. I mean, you know.
I know.
There's only one Mia.
This body ain't cheap. I work really, really freaking hard for this body. Everyone's like, "Wow, what do you do for those abs?" I'm like, a lot of friggin' sit-ups.
Really? Wow.
Sit-ups for days.
Yeah, it's good that you have the energy to do that, though, you know, and the desire to do that.
Yeah, I mean, even but it takes a lot of work. I was dedicated. Even on Sunday, I was at the gym.
Really?
You know, who goes to a gym on a Sunday of last week? I was, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, you know, was doing, you know, sit-ups and, like, working out, like, throughout the day. So it was, like, eight or 9 hours of shooting or something like that. It was just nuts.
Yeah.
But.
So that takes a long time, huh, to do the shoots and everything?
Yes. Yes. It was a really, really, really great experience for me, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
So.
Where did you do the shoot? Was it a studio thing?
It was actually in this mansion in Encino Hills.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it was, yeah, and it was one of those, like, it was like a foreclosed house, I think, and, you know, somebody just bought it for, like, investment. So there really wasn't any, like, furniture or anything in there to, like, you know, get dirty or whatever. So it was, like, perfect. So we don't really have to worry about all that, like, liability. We could just use, it was just kind of like an empty shell, you know, we could just use, you know, certain props and furniture items. And it was just really cool. In the backyard, there was, like, this amazing, like, rock formation with, like, a waterfall into the pool and a hot tub.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It was just, it looked like a resort.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Wow.
Really, really fun.
It's amazing
place to
where
shoot.
People live, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, some people.
I know, well, because nobody lives there right now, but.
Yeah, but generally, I mean, I'm sure all the houses in the neighborhood are not any less attractive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a pretty upscale area in Encino Hills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was very, very, like, quiet and pretty and nice.
Cool.
And a little bit far.
Yeah.
Far from me, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's
so,
okay.
So, did they tell you where these pictures are going to go? Do they usually tell you in advance?
Some of them will say, like, these are, like, specific things that, you know, they submit for. And obviously this is my first one, so I'm just kind of, you know, taking most of this to just sort of build my portfolio.
Right.
Because, you know, my portfolio that I had, you know, I look a little bit different now. You know, I was like a little, you know, I was a little kid. I was much younger when I was, you know, doing a lot more of this stuff. So.
Uh-huh.
Kind of need to, like, redo that, you know. I'm like, you look like a child here. Yes,
yeah.
That's because I was a child at that time. I'm like, okay, real professional, way to go. So yeah.
Well, cool.
Use that
cool.
For that, so
maybe that's a natural progression for you, you know, to move from Hooters to Maxim and maybe Sports Illustrated. Who knows?
Maybe.
It might be the next Bar Raffaelli, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Never know.
Yeah.
I know. And then there was, of course, like, shooting for, like, Playboy. But I'm like, nah, I draw the line there.
You'll pass on that one.
I'll pass on Playboy. Like, it's very flattering.
Right.
Thank you so much. But no, thank you.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of women, though, that's not like their lifetime dream is to be in Playboy, you know, which is amazing.
Yeah.
To me.
Lot of the Hooters girls. were saying that because we'd go on other, you know, our tours and signings and interviews, and people would always ask, oh, what's next, you know, what are your goals, you know, after Hooters? And, you know, pretty much all the girls except for me would be like, you know, that I'll be like, oh, Playboy.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, I'm an aspiring actress, and, you know, I want to be a producer one day, and I want to do this and that, and, you know, move out to Los Angeles. And I'm like, oh, okay. But no Playboy. No Playboy.
No Playboy.
Oh, huh? Okay.
Not in this lifetime, right?
No, not in this lifetime.
For any price? $1 million?
No, I'm just not at that point. I mean, if I was, like, even, you know, with film and stuff too, if I was super, like, established and well respected as, you know, a well-known actress, then if it was tasteful and classy, maybe that would be a different story.
Right.
But just desperate to get a job and, you know, make a little extra cash? No.
Yeah. No, I don't think most women do it for the extra cash. You know, I think there's just some kind of glamour connected to it.
Yeah.
And maybe they want to get involved in that kind of a lifestyle or something, you know. But I don't understand, you know, like women saying, oh, ever since I was a girl, I wanted to be in Playboy. I mean, come on. You know,
ever since I was a little girl,
yeah,
I've always dreamed. I mean, like I say that about Victoria's Secret, you know, but that's just because I used to watch those shows, you know, and that was glamorous.
Right.
You know, yeah, they're in, you know, bra and underwear basically, but they're wearing wings and it's a huge performance. Like it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
But when I was young, I used to say like, oh, I want to be a Victoria's Secret angel. I want to wear the wings and walk down the runway. But I never grew tall enough for that. No. So yeah, those dreams are, are over. But hey, you know, with print,
it's one
really
thing
matter.
About hype, man. You can't fake it, you know. It's so funny, but you know, it's like, because, you know, when I'm with taller people than I am, you know, it makes me feel smaller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm average height about 5'8", 5'9", for a man, you know. I don't know if that's average. It's a little maybe less. But so, you know, many people are taller than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you look up to them and you go, what the hell? Man? How can there be so much difference in height, you know, between people?
I know. I was like, look at basketball players. I mean, that's just...
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like they're like superhuman. Like, it's just unreal.
I know.
How tall some of these guys are. It's like, what? Oh, my gosh. Crazy.
I know, man.
But yeah, that probably would have been pretty difficult if I were to actually get that tall, because it'd be hard to find a guy. Because I really, you know, tall guys.
Right.
I like having that height difference. I like being able to, like, wear my highest heels,
right,
you know, and not
yeah,
not worry about it.
Well,
but
I think most guys are, you know, taller than a woman with heels, you know, so you'll be fine, you know.
It's
not a big deal to find, I don't think.
Right. If I was 5'9", though, yes, it would be.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be, like, the only downfall to that is that I couldn't really wear heels, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a girl at a party over the weekend, and she was like really, really tall, and she had like this really like great dress on. She looked amazing, but she was wearing like these little like kitty heels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just kind of like killed the whole thing.
Right.
Like, she was wearing some like super sexy, hot killer heels. It would just be like, wow, like that whole, you know, outfit, everything put together is a 10.
Wow.
But it's like great. And then all of a sudden, like, then she's wearing these little kitty heels. I'm like, ah, oh, like that totally downplays the whole like glamour of, you know, of her outfit. But I get it.
Right.
She's so tall. She doesn't want to be like crazy tall.
Right.
But
okay. Well,
yeah,
we have our guest, first guest calling in. We're going to have two today. So let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Sania.
Yes.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where are you calling us from today? Are you in the LA area, California?
Yes, California, from Rancho Cucamonga. It's like the Inland Empire area.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, to explain to people who don't live here where Rancho Cucamonga is.
That's quite a name.
It is
Rancho
a funny
Cucamonga.
Name, right?
I love it. Say that five times fast.
Yeah, I know.
It's about 30 minutes away from L.A.
Right. Yeah, going east.
Oh, okay. It's not that far.
So we're speaking with Sania Mayo, right? And I have your book in front of me. It's called Identifying and Breaking the Cycle. And so tell us a little bit about what the book is about.
The book is basically about subtle cycles within families and relationships that people overlook, because most of the time people focus on substance abuse and cycles like that. I talk about the subtle cycles that people really don't pay attention to that can have a drastic effect in a family or in a relationship, like having a favorite in the family, or going into a relationship with your eyes wide open and expecting something different. So those are the different things that I talk about.
I see. Okay. So now, so obviously there's you talk about secrets and families and so forth. What are some of the things that affect people? You know, I mean, obviously there's abuse going on in many families and stuff. And do you have a personal story that you want to share with us? Or because that's pretty much in the book, right?
Right.
Yeah.
One of the chapters that I talk about, which is actually from my own personal experience, is strong family ties, and it talks about how there is like a silent competition within the family.
Wow.
Where the aunts and uncles, they have competed against one another growing up, and so now they pass this on to their children, where the cousins are now competing, and no one outwardly says it's a competition, but it's kind of like silently everybody's competing, but no one really admits that they're competing with one another.
Wow. Maybe they're not even aware that they are, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's just been passed on, and it's routine, so they normalize it as healthy behavior.
Yeah. Wow.
And interesting.
Then, yeah, and then they internalize this, and like you said, it becomes like the norm for them.
Right.
Right. Now, so you're talking about uncles and aunts. You meant like competition amongst themselves as they were growing
right.
up and stuff. I see. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what do you mean in identifying and breaking the cycle? Is this a cycle you talk about?
Yes, it is a cycle that I talk about, and I believe in order to break a cycle, you have to first identify that the cycle even exists, because like I just said, when people normalize things within their family, they don't see anything wrong with it, and if you don't see anything wrong with it, you won't identify that there's actually an issue.
Right, and so how does your book really come in into this? So you give some examples of stories and things like that?
Right. Actually, most of the book is about my personal life. And growing up as a child, I always knew that there was things that were not right with, how the family dynamics were. And so as I got older and I went into the field that I'm in, which is clinical psychology, marriage and family therapy, I started to see that there was something definitely wrong, and which made me want to break away from my own cycles within my family and then write the book to help and educate other people to break away from cycles within their own family. A lot of cycles, like with the favoritism, most people think it's okay to have a favorite child, but it's really not, because it makes one kid feel like, you know, they're better than the others, but it also makes other kids feel like they're less than the favorite, and they can never compete or be that person, which always makes them feel inadequate, leaving them with a low self-esteem, which ultimately plays out in all their relationships within their life.
Right. But,
exactly.
I've been reading on this, and isn't it true that many people do have a favorite child? What you're saying is just not to show it?
Right. I think a lot of families do have a favorite child, but personally, I do not.
I see.
I treat my kids all the same. I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and they all have different needs,
right.
But I meet their needs all according to their own well-being. I do not have a favorite child. I love my kids all the same,
right.
Because I do not want my, because what happens when you have a favorite child, the kids that are not the favorite, they resent that kid.
Yeah.
So which it brings about sibling rivalry. And honestly, it's not the favorite kid's fault, because they didn't choose to be in that position. I was the favorite. And it made some of my siblings mad at me, but mm-hmm. I was the favorite kid that I didn't go along with being the favorite kid. I would actually tell my parents, that's not right. Because
right.
I never wanted my sisters to feel like I was better than them, because
right.
we're all in the same playing field.
That's true,
so,
yeah. And you're in the
yeah,
same
so,
family. You live together and stuff like that. You need to know how to appreciate each other's space, I guess.
Right.
You know?
Because we all have strengths and we all have unique abilities that make us who we are.
Right. And you speak about boundaries in the book. How do you establish boundaries in a family situation like this?
When you set boundaries, it's hard, especially if the family is not used to boundaries, but it's vital. Setting boundaries, it could just start as simple as just saying no. When you don't set boundaries and you do things that people don't, that you really don't want to do, ultimately you just end up upset and bitter. So why even do it when you know you really don't want to do it anyway? So the simple way to just start setting boundaries is just by simply telling people no, and you grow from there.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's not probably as easy as it sounds, because it is
no,
your family, you know,
right.
If you're not used to saying no, then, you know, or there's reasons why you're afraid or, you know, intimidated, you know, I can see where it can become a problem.
It's definitely not as easy as it sounds. I mean, it's going to take courage and it's going to take guts. But the thing about setting boundaries in any healthy relationship, whether it's your spouse, your mother, your brother, your sister, your father, your friend, you should always be able to express yourself without there being repercussions.
Right.
If my husband comes to and tells me how he feels, regardless if I agree or not, that's his feeling. So all I can do is respect that. And that's when you know you truly have a healthy relationship. When it's unhealthy, when you express how you feel and someone lashes out or there's a consequence or, you know, you're X out because how you feel, you already know offhand, like, that is an unhealthy relationship. So you have to set boundaries unless you want to continue to be in a dysfunctional cycle.
Right, exactly. And you know what I say, you know, family members, you don't get to choose. You know, you're just kind of born into
right.
it. And so you have to learn how to deal with these people or you mm-hmm. just leave the family, which is not a great answer for this, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And how many siblings do you have?
I actually have six sisters, so I'm in the middle. I have three older and three younger.
Oh, wow.
Wow, six sisters. Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so I
have a friend like that back home, and she's the oldest.
Really?
But yeah.
Wow.
It's all girls.
Wow, that's a lot of girls. But yeah, I can see, you know, I mean, in a home like this, I can see where, especially among girls, young girls and stuff, there'd be a lot of competition and stuff, right?
Right. Right, yeah. And when the parents add to it, it doesn't make it any easier.
Right.
And so it brings about a sibling rivalry. And when you grow up, then the cousins, then your kids, it will be the same thing. But see, I opted out. I decided not to participate. And mm-hmm. if they want to participate, that's fine. But I didn't want my kids, because if I engaged in that, it would have cycled down to my grandkids, and I didn't want that in all, you know, with my offspring and then their kids and their kids, because it just keeps continuing if no one breaks it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's what the book is about, of course. The book is Identifying and Breaking the Cycle. We're speaking to Sania Mayo. And Sania, do you have a website or anything to back up the book, or where can people find it?
They can find the book at breakingthecyclebook.com.
Okay.
Or they can also purchase an app if they have an Android phone off Amazon.com.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And what does the app do?
It's just like it's in a book form, but it's an app.
Right.
You can purchase it and read the book on your phone.
I see. Okay, very cool. Okay, everybody, go out and get Identifying and Breaking the Cycle. I think it's very relevant, you know, and I think many families do have problems. And, you know, and I think there's just too much silence going on, and people don't discuss these things. And then, you know, bad things happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, Sania, thank you so much for spending the time with us. Fascinating book, and all the best to you. So the book is, the website again?
BreakingTheCycleBook.com.
Okay, BreakingTheCycleBook.com. Okay, Sania, well, thank you so much for joining. All the best. Enjoy the great weather today.
Thank you. You guys have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Isn't it beautiful outside today, Mia?
It really is.
It's not cold
like,
anymore.
Even last night was kind of a nice night.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a breeze, but I was still like, oh.
Because, yeah,
those are
what they call the Santa Ana winds, and they're warm winds that come from the desert.
Warm winds. That sounds funny.
Or hot winds. Okay, whatever you want to call it.
Hot winds. Like,
hot
oh, my.
Hot winds.
We got some hot winds up in here.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. So
that's
it's been feeling like summer, you know.
Yeah, but that's very true, all the stuff that she was talking about, the, you know, favoritism and all that stuff, you know.
I know, it does happen, and I think people carry it into adulthood,
too. And also, you know, something I was thinking about, too, when it's tough when there's, like, also, like, a sick child, you know, how, like, all the attention will go to that child.
Right.
And then it's, like, it's tough for the healthy kid because then all the attention is on, you know.
That's true.
On
I
the
think
sick
it's
kid.
A very...
And then it's usually those kids that, like, end up kind of, like, lashing out and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's pretty widespread, you know, that this stuff happens.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think if anything, this book is really for the parents, you know, to...
Yeah, definitely. To try to, like, you know, kind of like what she's doing. She's trying to, like, nip it in the bud so that it doesn't, you know, end up growing into, you know what I mean, her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And, you know, like, she wants to, you know, start that equality now with her family.
Right. Well, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that, and I think boundaries are very important, especially in a family where people live in close quarters and stuff.
Right. Yeah, and what she said about like respecting people's like feelings and opinions, you know what I mean? Instead of like lashing out and being like, well, why would you feel that way? That's stupid. It's like either way, it's like I feel that way. So just, you know what I mean? Deal with it. Let's deal with it and move on.
Right.
And I think even that's just an interesting point in everyday general life too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people do that. They're just so quick to, you know, lash out at things they don't need to be lashed. I was like, you know, I'm just telling you how I feel.
Right.
Like you can't change that. And you can tell me how you feel and we can work from there. But don't freak out on me because I'm telling you like it is.
Yeah. No, you got to validate the other person's feelings, I think, you know, because otherwise, yeah, to say why you're feeling like that or it's stupid to feel like that, that's totally like denigrating, I think, you know.
Yeah.
It's the opposite results. Yeah. So we're going to have another caller in a few minutes. We're going to talk about relationships, men, I guess. Or he writes for a magazine called AskMen.com. So
I'm
gonna talk to him. He's got
That should be good.
He's got a unique name too, yeah.
AskMen.com.
So, yeah. So if we were in Florida today, we could stand to win $1 billion at the lottery. The jackpot is right now it's about $600 million. And they're saying if there's no winner by Christmas, it could jump to $1 billion.
What? That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. They're showing you some of the things you can buy. You can buy an island for $1 billion.
An island?
Yeah.
Would you do that, Sam? Would you buy an island?
Why not? I mean, they're showing it here. It looks amazing. Like,
yeah.
Like somewhere in Hawaii or something, you know.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, God, you know, just imagine, you know, you spend a few bucks and you come home with $1 billion.
I know, but I feel like really bad things always seem to happen to those people. Like they always have these stories of like, oh, I won all this money and then my wife died of cancer and then my son got hit by a car. And then what, like, I remember hearing this story about this one guy that like literally his life just completely went downhill after he won the money.
Really?
And like everybody like around him was, you know, having like all these issues and freak accidents. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind winning that kind of money, but I don't buy lottery tickets, so I would never win.
Yeah. I don't really either. But then it's like, it's tough because then you have like distant family coming out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? Like people that you never even knew existed being like, well, I'm your family and, you know, you have all that money and I need it. So hand it over, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Stuff just, I don't know. I feel like it makes things so complicating.
Yeah. It is, you know. And, I mean, I heard this little joke once that, you know, this man was constantly complaining to God, how come I never win the lottery, you know, help me win the lottery and everything.
Yeah.
And then God one day says, you know, meet me halfway and buy a ticket. So, you know, obviously you can't win if you don't buy a ticket. So.
Exactly.
So maybe even one might be worth it. I don't know.
Yeah, there was that. What was that movie? It's like Bruce Almighty or something like that. You know, where he's like playing God, basically.
Right.
And like he gets all these like amen email things, like all these like prayer emails coming in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then he just clicks yes to all of them. And like a ton of them were like, you know, I pray to win the lottery. So it was like all these people ended up winning the lottery at once. So they're like, what the heck is going on here?
And then each one gets $100 or something.
Right? Yeah, I know, right? They're like, oh, how much did you win? $20.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I know. It sucks when you don't win the entire thing yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty good, I'm sure, you know, for any kind
for
of money
sure.
you got.
I'll take anything, you
know. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So $1 billion, so...
Man.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we have that mega jackpot thing here? We have something,
I have no idea.
Right?
I don't think I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life. I mean, I've, you know, I've like had them like scratchers, like the little like scratch-off ones that people give us like gag gifts and stuff for like Christmas. But, you know, that's always a good grab bag one, you know? And
that's
like
true,
it's guys and girls and you don't know what to get and you're like... playing like a grab bag game.
Right.
Then you're like, oh, shoot, yeah, what do you get?
Lottery tickets.
Pretty cheap. And then it's like, okay, now I need to get a certain percent because I bought them.
Yeah, right.
If you win, you have to share. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you bought tickets for someone as a gift and they won?
Yeah, they've had crazy stories like that before where like, somebody's like bought a ticket and you know there was like a homeless person, so like, oh, I'll just give it to them. I remember seeing a story like that on TV, like on the news or something, and she gave it to like this homeless person, and then she bought another one for herself, but the homeless guy ended up winning.
Wow.
So yeah, it was that was pretty interesting. It's like, oh my.
I know it's funny, but I would yeah, I would kill myself if I bought a ticket for someone and they won, you know, rather than me keeping the ticket. My God, man, jump out the window.
No, don't do that.
Well, I guess you'd buy it for someone you probably care about. So,
right, and I'm sure they,
unless
you
it's
know,
like an office party or something.
Help to compensate you or something. Yeah, and there were problems with that too. Like this office would be like, oh, like we all... you know, put into the pot, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if we win, then we all get a certain percentage. And then, of course, there are people that like, no, I participated too. And they're like, what? No, you didn't. Like, yes, I did. Like, I need part of this, you know, I deserve part of this check because I participated. And then there's like crazy like office disputes because.
Yeah, no, I don't think that works,
Yeah, that's that's tough stuff.
So that's lotteries for you.
How about that?
Now, check out this story. This guy and his bride, they just got married. They got in the car, and they drove away. On the side of the road, there was a stranded woman, you know, that slipped off the road with her car. So he pulls over to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, both she and him get hit by cars on the side of the road and die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, as they're trying to, they're standing by the disabled car and stuff. And the bride is sitting in the other car and watching him, like, die, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, so there's a good Samaritan, you know, trying to help someone right after his wedding. And becomes the most tragic thing you can think of, you know.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not like you even helped the woman because she ended up dying, too.
What?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, he and the woman that was stranded got hit. You know, on the side of the road, I don't know who hit him. But apparently all the drivers stayed. It wasn't like a hit and run or anything.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure we're going to find out more about that.
Oh, but, that's so tragic.
I mean, he was struck multiple times. I mean, God, you know, he was probably hit once and then the body, you know, kind of flew into the middle lanes or something. God, I can't even imagine seeing something like that.
No.
That would be like...
God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I know, I freaked out when I saw that guy, you know, that guy that was on his bicycle, you know, that was bleeding on the on the side of the street, you know? And that girl must have hit him. I was like, oh my God. I mean, he seemed okay. Yeah. He was sitting up and, you know, he was like talking and everything. So I was like, okay, like he's all right, you know, help is on the way kind of thing. But still, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so frightening.
I know. But so that's why it's crazy. They tell you, you know, when you pull over on the freeway, you know, always be careful when you're on the side of the road.
Oh, of course. Yeah, like put your hazards on, your lights, like something. Like,
and don't stand there.
You need to let people know that you're there.
Yeah.
Get out of there, you know.
Yeah, definitely don't stand there on the shoulder because people are crazy. They drive like wackos, you know.
Especially if it's at night. I mean, you can't see.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I know. So how did the Bears do this weekend? Did you guys win?
Oh, we won.
Oh, you did win.
Yay.
Yeah, I didn't think you did because you didn't bring it up.
Oh, yeah. And it was the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, they always lose, I think, right?
Yeah.
The Browns never have a good team.
They do. I know. That's why I just wasn't really worried because it was sort of a, you know, a bit of a slaughter. So I was like, meh.
Was it really? What was the score? But, do you remember?
No, I don't. I can check. You know, I have this awesome like Bears app.
Oh.
It's so convenient. Like I could just like bring it up. Like okay, Bears.
And see the score.
And it was. I guess it wasn't that much of a sweep. 38 and 31.
Oh, okay.
But
high-scoring game.
Yeah, I love this. I love this little thing.
Yeah, huh?
I've got it for all my sports. You know, it's like an app for like all of my teams. I have like a whole like home screen here on my phone of just all like sports apps everywhere.
That's unusual.
I know. I love it.
Well, you love sports. Why not? You know, if you're into it, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I guess there were a couple good games. I didn't watch any, but I could hear from the neighbor's place. They were like shouting and stuff. They were being really loud. So I could tell they were watching football and stuff. And then I went to a party, and they watched some football there too. But it was fun, you know. There was food and good people and stuff. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. So we're waiting for our next guest to call, and he's not calling in. I don't know what his problem is, but I hope he calls. And his name is Chris Illuminati, believe it or not.
Mm.
Have you heard of the Illuminati? It's like a secret society from, you know, the Knights Templar and things like that. And
I've heard of that.
It's amazing that he has a name like that. You can't imagine someone being born with that, but he claims that he was.
Mm.
And his website, yeah. But he's a pretty funny guy, you know. I hope he calls in.
All right.
On the the East Coast and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I know. So, this lottery, man. I mean, it's like, I can't get over $1 billion to win.
Yeah.
You know.
That's quite life-changing.
Yeah. So you going home for the holidays, huh?
I am. I'm starting to get in the festive spirit. I don't know if you saw my nails.
Oh, you have like Christmas style nails.
Yeah, I did. This is like that cool like textured one. It's like the red like sandy sparkly sort of look.
Okay.
And then what I did is I borrowed my friend's white nail polish. And I took a toothpick. And, you know, just dipped it in. And then so it was like the nails red. And then I did like white, like diagonal lines. So they kind of look like candy canes, you know? So it's like the red and white lines. It's very, very cute, very festive. I did it to match my little Jingle Bells outfit that I wore to a Christmas party over the weekend.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was very, there really wasn't that much to it, but it was like, I don't know, it was a really cute costume. I mean, everybody kind of had to dress up. There were some girls dressed up as like little, like snowmen, you know, like they had these cute, like a cute little white dress, and then they made like little buttons on it and cute stuff.
So it was like a little Christmas theme or something?
Yeah. Okay. A cute, like little, like, you know, sexy elf costumes and, you know, sexy Santa costumes. And it was like a costume party, but for, you know, and they, like, my friend wore, like, little, she had, like, little, like, sparkly, like, reindeer, antlers on, and, it was really cute, it was really fun. I had, like, a little skirt that was red and white with, like, little stripes, and I had little jingle bells on the skirt, and then a little, like, bikini top thing with little jingle bells on the top, and my white, like, fuzzy boots. Oh, yeah, I went all out, as usual.
Yeah. Well, now that you're proud of your body, you're showing it off a lot,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. I'm like, I've worked so hard. I'm like, might as well, you know? Why not? Why not?
I know. So, you lost some weight. I mean, how many pounds did you lose?
You know, I actually don't have a scale. I judge it by my jeans.
Okay.
You know?
So you drop the size
of
two?
That's usually how I do it. I don't know why I never got a scale. I mean, I just think it's because the way I look and the way I feel. Like, I feel like it's not a numbers thing for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I need to lose like 38 pounds to look the way I want to look. Like, you know, it's nothing like that, you know, or some people, they base it off of, you know, off of their scale where for me, I mean, it's just about, you know, I feel like I don't ever really need to lose like weight. Like, I don't really need to like drop pounds. I just really need to like tone up,
you know,
and look, you know, and look good and like feel good, you know, and you feel better when you're working out more, you have a lot more energy, you know, and you're eating right. And it's just a better feeling.
That's,
you know,
true.
And
yeah,
you have to worry about, you know, the way certain clothes fit you. It's super great. But yeah, for me, I think I need to, go pants shopping.
Yeah.
Because now even wearing my skinny jeans today, and I'm like, I've been like pulling them up by the loops. Like, oh man, there's some room around the waist. These aren't staying up on me too well. But I don't mind it. It's all
is there anything less than a size zero? Because you probably need that, right? What size do you wear?
I think there's such thing as a double zero.
Really? Okay. And I'm sure you're going to try to make it there, right?
No. I mean, I don't want to get like, you know what I mean? Like, I still having my like womanly curves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't be a stick figure. Not attractive.
No. I like having my womanliness about me still. Like, I don't want like toothpick legs, you know, like, you know, because I work out. So I've got a bit of like a quad muscle going, you know what I mean? I just want to look like, you know, just like fit and healthy. And at the same time, I don't want like have like a crazy ripped six pack, you know, but I like that, you know, that little bit of definition, you know, and the little, you know, V and all that and my little back dimples, just, you know, certain like little extra, you know, feminine, you know, girly things that, you know, that I feel like
it's
makes my body more
woman,
attractive.
Huh?
But yeah, it can be. But, yeah, like, as long as like, you know, I still have a nice shape and, you know, my butt looks good and, you know, I feel confident and I'm all good. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You got to learn how to like the gym though, because I never liked the gym, you know, never. Even when I used to go all the time, I never liked it.
I'm liking it more. I mean, more now. I feel like the hardest part is, you know, just actually getting there. You know, that part like right before where you're like, I don't know if I really feel like going to the gym, but that's why it's also great to have a gym buddy.
Right.
You know, somebody else that'll like push you, you know, you can push each other and be like, come on, no, today we're doing it. We're going to the gym. No ifs, ands, or buts, you know, come on, let's do it. You know, so you feel like.
That's true. I think that would work. That definitely would.
You have some days that you go a lot, you know, harder than others, you know, like you don't go like super crazy, you know, balls out like every single time.
Right.
You know, you do it in moderation, especially if you're going every day, because technically you're really not supposed to go to the gym every day. Right. Like they say, you know, do it and then take a day off. And, you know, it's comfortable to do it every other day. But because I was on such a tight, like strict time schedule, you know, I'm like, I've got this photo shoot that just came up out of nowhere. It's a great opportunity. I'm like, I just have to go, you know, all out until I can reach my goal. And this time I just need to try and keep it. And I know that's not going to be easy with going home for the holidays, you know, because all you do is eat when you're in Chicago, you know, especially the holidays.
Will you
cookies
be working
and
out
desserts
there too?
And you know what? I have noticed LA Fitness near the house. So, and I think, I'm pretty sure my card works there too.
Oh, really?
So
they have LA Fitness in Chicago?
They do,
are
yeah.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's one kind of nearby in the Bloomingdale area. So I'm going to try to keep it up, you know, and keep going. So.
If not, there's going to be a lot of hard work when you return.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how I felt this time, you know, because I was totally like, whatever, like Thanksgiving, I'm not going to work out. I'm just going to eat a lot of food and chill. And, you know, it was great. But then I came back and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got a photo shoot. I'm like, going crazy.
Yeah.
But it was all well worth it.
Great. You know, I mean, I'm happy for you. I know you'll do great. I told you, you know, I always told you, you need to make it big because.
Thank you.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you got what it takes, you know, so
thanks.
You will. You just got to find the right people.
You know,
people.
Do this for the, you know, connections and the cash flow, but still, you know, January, that's pilot season. So that's busy season for, you know, acting and auditioning and stuff as well.
Right.
So that'll be, you know, that'll be keeping me pretty busy too.
That's true.
When I'm in town. Of course, like LA will always be like my home base.
Right.
But, you know, I'll be traveling
but
a lot
be
for,
traveling.
For photo shoots.
Sounds
Yay.
Good. Yeah. Get some traveling out of the way, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sounds like fun. But they say like modeling is pretty, pretty boring, right? I mean, do you like stand around a lot and things like that?
No, I mean, it definitely wasn't boring for me. Like, I'll be honest, like my whole body like still hurts
really?
From like, you know, the going these crazy and poses. And then you're like, at the same time, like, you know, flexing so that you like look good. So it's basically like an all day workout because you're trying to hold yourself up. And at the same time, you're trying to have a, you know, a decent, you know, facial expression, you know. Meanwhile, like, you know, doing all this other crazy stuff, posing on rocks and, you know, on the ledges of, you know, pools between the hot tub. You got like water on either side of you. So it's also like, okay, don't fall in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
oh,
I forgot like how much work it was and how difficult it could be.
Yeah.
you know, I'm thinking, oh, whatever.
So it's hardly shoot. Boring. Yeah.
You know, I'll lay there and look pretty, but it's like, oh, wow. Like, I forgot how much, you know, how much work you have to put into this. Yeah.
Wow.
It's, it could, you know, it could be a big job.
Yeah, so it's not all glamour. I mean, it's hard work, you say.
No, it's
right?
definitely not all glamour. And then you're freezing, too, yeah, on top of it. You're in a bikini, so it's like...
Wow.
Okay, act warm. Look
they don't
warm.
See the goosebumps in the photo.
Well, that's the thing. Thank God for Photoshop. But yeah, that's also an issue too. Like, can you try to warm up at all? Because their goosebumps are showing up.
I know.
Like, and I'm sorry. There's actually nothing I can do about that. Believe it or not, that is out of my control.
I know. It's like I'm amazed sometimes when you have people shooting movies that, where it's really cold and stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. they have to be outside for extended periods of time.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that sounds pretty tough, you know, to be half naked or something, you know, whatever.
I've had more of my fair share of that, for sure.
So. Really? Of freezing on the set, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Freezing or too hot or whatever. It's like, it's always something. It's never just like comfortable conditions. Like, there's always a story to it.
Yeah, that's true.
But, Oh, I guess our caller never...
No, never materialized. In. The second one, right.
Hmm.
Well, we'll work it out again. Just that I was able to squeeze him in today because we're booked the rest of the week, solid.
Yeah.
You know.
Darn.
Darn indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Yeah. So Beyonce came out with an album that they call a secret album because she didn't really publicize it. And she released it. Usually they release albums on a Tuesday.
Okay.
She released it like on a Friday. And still they're saying it dropped at number one, selling about 600,000, CDs or copies of it over the weekend.
Wow.
Which is a lot, you know. And
get it, girl.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing is that she's so big now that it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, people just will buy her stuff no matter what.
Yeah, and she's incredibly talented.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a big comeback after having her baby.
Right.
So it's Blue Ivy. I love that. I think that is such an appropriate name. Yeah. I feel like it's so cute.
Blue Ivy.
Yeah, I like that. Usually I'm not a fan of like weird names, you know what I mean? When a lot of these like stars and, you know, famous people and artists, they like to name their children like really bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
Usually like... Ugh, what is wrong with you?
They're but weird, bizarre people. That's why.
I love Blue Ivy.
Yeah.
So cute.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Northwest.
Yeah.
But,
Northwest is a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at my friend's house. She was watching the, you know, Kardashians show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the episode where she, like, after she just had the baby and she's, you know, on the phone with her mom, like, the next day or something. And she's like, oh, we're thinking about... not giving the baby a last name or something. She's just going to be Baby North. Like, no, she has to have a last name.
The
like,
last
you can't
name,
just
huh?
do that. Like, and then they ended up going with Northwest. But, yeah, it's just kind of random.
Wow.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was the whole point of naming her North because the last name was West. So
right.
it's like Northwest. Like, oh, ah, so unique and clever. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then it's funny because on the other hand, Britney Spears did not do very well at all. She sold only 107,000 copies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So so much for Britney Spears. You know, I mean, obviously the year belongs to Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
The decade fucking belongs to Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
It seems.
Yeah,
she is the
queen bee.
She definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of her music, though. I don't know. Maybe
really?
I do one or two songs, but I don't really follow her,
yeah.
so I don't know. All right, well, anyway, Mia, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for
thank
joining
you.
Us. And we'll see you
tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.